This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Today is going to be a in the news segment. This was actually not planned. I was taking a bit of a break from the in the news, but this is going to be in the news episode 24 baked into our new episode naming scheme. So technically it's episode 115 with bees in the news 24. I hope that's not confusing. If you saw the old system, this definitely makes sense. It was just kind of all over the map with different numbering schemes and everything. But primarily what I wanted to do was test out this new podcast host and their feed. I went through, it was such a disaster. I haven't even talked to you guys about this in great detail yet, but essentially what happened is I wasn't happy with all the things with my provider. So I'm like, you know what? I'll do some research and I'll go to another one. So I found one. I'm like, oh, okay, this will be great. Well, I get there and they support PayPal. They don't support PayPal. PayPal is their chosen provider to make payments to their podcast hosts and their customers. And I had a falling out with PayPal many years ago. I had a business, and it's kind of a long story, but I'm not going to do business with PayPal. So I reached out to them and I said, hey, is there any other option for payment? And they said, no, this is all we do. And I said, okay, well, obviously I have to go somewhere else since I'm not going to be able to get paid. So I went to the next provider and I was doing some research, and that was one of the big things. How do you pay? How do you pay out? We pay through ACH. Great. I get there, and it was all, bring your own sponsors and bring your own network. And, I can find sponsors, but that's not where I am right now. I'm trying to keep the content flowing, keep people informed, get everybody ready for what's going on next year. We can deal with the sponsorships and the money side of it later on. I just didn't want to deal with it. So I was hoping to find a provider that already had that baked in. I just do a couple of clicks like, yes, advertise on my show, and I can keep moving on with focusing on the content. 100% bring your own advertisers. So I was like, I don't have any. So I'm going to go ahead and have to make a little bit of a change. So I went to the next one. I get to the next one, and somehow, again, the PayPal thing came up, which I don't even know how. I think I had researched it using AI or something, and it came back, and it was like, yeah, that one's fine. And I got there, and it was not fine. And that might not even be right. I'm so exhausted that I might have that wrong. But I finally ended up getting to, I went through like three of them, got to the last one, and I've settled with them for a while. Because of all the change, my Spotify feed was completely messed up. So people on Spotify were seeing some things, not other things, linked to an old thing that neither me nor my episodes were attached to. It was a big disaster. Finally worked through everything with Spotify. Got it all worked out like yesterday morning, I think it was. Everything is starting to flow normally and looks pretty good. So I thought, you know what? Let me just do a quick in the news segment. We'll cover a couple cool things that I've seen out there this week. And we'll just kind of see how everything populates and pushes out and make sure it's working the way that it should, and be able to focus back on the business side. And like I mentioned at the beginning, like I said, I don't have any advertisers. So I did my own little ad briefly at the beginning there. But I do have a lot of content either teed up or that needs to be edited. So it's both on the video side and on the audio side. So if there's something that you're thinking about right now and you're new, and we do have a lot of new folks lately, special thanks to the folks in Australia, by the way, everything in that Australia, New Guinea kind of area, getting a lot of new activity, which, tis the season down there. I get it. But if you're new to the podcast, everything was kind of designed around being sequential to, you start early on with some of the earlier episodes and you kind of form building blocks. It would sort of be like saying that you're going to go, learn how to be a surgeon, and you just, you know, pick up in like third year of med school and you're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. What's a femur? That kind of thing. Like you still need to go through like the initial A&P, the stuff that you do in college, like in year one and two. That's kind of how it is when you jump in episode 100, 105, 110. You're definitely going to get the most latest and greatest, most current information, but you're going to miss out on some of the beekeeping fundamentals. And honestly, I don't really care. If you are just, you're like, you know what? I don't want to go back and start all over again. Give me a recap. Give me the Cliff Notes version. I don't care. I'm going to talk about it over and over again anyway. That's kind of what I do for a living. So if there's something you need, if you're trying to figure something out, you're just like, hey, you know what? Next year is year one for me. We got a lot of stuff for you. If you're a next year brand new beekeeper, we got a lot of stuff teed up and I'm super, super pumped about this. And as soon as I start actually clicking the buy button on some of these things, I'll let you know. But it's going to be a fun year next year. It's going to be a big year. Okay, so let's jump in here to the news because I am so absolutely exhausted that I've got to get this wrapped up so that I can finish up my homework for that master's program I just started again and get that done before like 3 a.m. tomorrow. Yeah, I'm so smoked. Okay, the first article today is coming to us out of the LA Times. The title here, All We Could Do Was Watch. Beekeeper mourns millions of bees killed in mountain fire. On the morning the mountain fire erupted, wind gusts were so strong in Somas that several of the sturdy wooden boxes that housed Eduardo Flores' bee colonies had already blown over. Flores was watching the feed on his security camera from his home and preparing to drive over in his truck when he received a message from his brother-in-law. There was a fire close to the bee yard. Within an hour, all 150 boxes had been destroyed in the blaze and millions of bees were dead. All we could do was watch, said Flores, who owns Ventura Bee Rescue, a company that removes troublesome bees from people's homes, rehabilitates the colonies, and then relocates the pollinators to help sustain local bee populations. So that's a terrible story. I mean, you never want to hear about something like that. I guess if there's any bright side to this, for those of you who are newer and don't know about this, if you're in the U.S., there is a U.S.-based program called ELAP, and it is the Emergency Assistance for Livestock and Pollinators. You can't just call up and be like, oh, there was a fire. Cool. Hey, I lost some beehives. Like there's a bit of a process you got to go through. You're going to need to register with your local USDA, FSA, FSO, Field Services Office, something like that. You got to register with them and you've got to provide some documentation that kind of shows that you have some hives and you got to give them end of year colony counts. And there's a few things you need to do, but anybody who's already in agriculture, this is not going to be a surprise. This is nothing new. This isn't, you know, they're not asking for a lot. But if there is any bright side to it, if you're doing the maintenance and the documentation that you should be, at least, you know, you can get some money back in situations like this. I mean, that doesn't replace your investment. It doesn't replace your genetics. When you look at the dollar amount you get, you're like, oh, cool, I can go buy new bees. Yeah, you can. But holy crap, starting over from scratch with everything is going to be really, really painful for these folks. So definitely sorry to hear about that. On a brighter, happier note, the second article is coming to us from some random place on social media. Unbelievable video shows two bees working together to open a bottle of soda. Now, what I'm going to do is I'll put the link to this article, as I always do, on the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage. There's a separate page for In the News. Just click that link and you can see all the In the News episodes over the past 6 months or so. Inside that link, you can watch the video. And it's really cool. But let me read through here. Even though we all recognize bees for their importance in the food chain as pollinators, the crafty creatures have a series of other talents, including math ability, face recognition, and even tool use. A 2021 video originally posted on X showed a pair of bees apparently unscrewing the orange lid of a Fanta to reach the sugary liquid inside. In today's age of digital trickery, we have to be mindful this could just be AI, or perhaps the bees really did work together and simply toppled an already loose perched bottle cap. Either way, it's fun to think about whether bees would have the brains to pull off such a soda heist. Anyway, it's kind of neat. I mean, is it real? I don't know if it's real, but it's pretty cool looking. It's kind of neat. Check out the video. Take it with a grain of salt. You know, where they say, believe none of what you hear and half of what you see, something like that. Anyway, it's kind of cute. Okay, the next article today is coming to us out of Switzerland. Asian hornets destroy beekeeper's life work. A beekeeper from Switzerland is facing the ruins of his work after Asian hornets destroyed his bee colonies. Just a few weeks ago, Patrick Gubler was the proud owner of 45 bee colonies with almost 3 million insects. But an attack by Asian hornets has almost wiped out his hives. The beekeeper is desperate and angry about the lack of support from the authorities, as he told 20 Minuten. I think that must be the name of the news organization. It all began on October 8th when Gubler noticed that his bees were in turmoil. Asian hornets had their sights on his colonies and were attacking them in swarms. It was a massacre. I can't describe it in any other way. Despite his quick reaction and reporting the incident to the relevant authorities, he did not receive any immediate help. The search for the hornet's nest proved to be difficult and time-consuming, as the necessary resources such as tracking devices were lacking. Surviving bees had to be killed. Gubler tried to protect his bees by moving them to another location and setting up nets and traps, but the hornets continued their attack, and within a few days he lost 25 of his honey colonies. The remaining bees were so weakened that they became susceptible to disease. This forced Gubler to kill the animals to prevent them from spreading. Which probably should have said prevent them from spreading illness, but I think we know what he means there. So the article goes on a little bit more, but, you know, kind of a sad thing. You know, the Asian hornet and these other predators, it's so tough to handle these invasive species wherever they are and whatever they are, whatever they're a part of, whether it's, you know, the things we see in the Everglades or specifically with all the snakes and reptiles and things down there. And I was doing a little bit of a research study just the other day. I was reviewing a research study done by somebody else, talking about how, you know, raccoons and possums and some of the small things that used to be a part of the Everglades, you know, National Park, where they're basically like a 99% reduction in these things between the constrictors. And I think some people have said there are anacondas there. It's a whole separate thing. But the boas and some of the other things that are out there just made it really tough. But anyway, I have this little, the ADD is really kicking in strong today. So you got to work with me here, folks. But anyway, it's a very sad story. I'm really hoping that this does not become an issue here in the U.S. And I know it's just a matter of time, but I'm fingers crossed that we don't have to contend with this, because those things, I've watched the videos. If you haven't checked those out, go on YouTube and just do a search for the giant hornet and see what those videos look like. They'll decimate an entire honeybee population incredibly quickly. Now, the even cooler videos is, I think it's the Japanese honeybees that they've kind of developed a solution to this, where they'll sort of like wait and bait that initial scout hornet, you know, to kind of come in a little bit. And then they jump on them and they vibrate really, really fast. And they get the temperature so hot that they essentially fry the hornet. It's pretty wild. And it has something to do with, like, they can sustain a temperature up until, I'm going to make this up because I don't really know what the number is, but like they can sustain a temperature up to like 102 or something like that. But the hornet can only make it to like 97. So they make it, you know, hot enough to where obviously they're warm, they're hot, and they can survive, but it kills the hornet. It's a pretty neat thing. The next article to me was kind of weird. I don't know. I wanted to share it because, you know, it's interesting, and I'm going to share some stuff whether I necessarily agree with it or not. You know, I'm going to put it out there and let you guys debate it and talk about it and think about it. But the title is, here's how many bees you're killing with your car and why that's dangerous for the environment. Beware. New research finds that millions upon millions of bees are killed in collisions with cars in the United States annually, posing a major problem for the economy and environment, experts insisted in a buzzy new report. The study published in the journal Sustainable Environment was conducted in Utah using sticky traps fixed to the bumpers of mid-sized cars. They were then driven at length around the Beehive State. During 29 different drives on a mix of road types, researchers logged 58,000 miles under various conditions, causing considerable carnage, researchers said. We estimate that hundreds of millions of bees could be killed every summer just considering the roads on which we conducted our surveys, they wrote. Now, I'm going to go ahead and stop here, right? I mean, it's a bunch of stats and figures, and they're talking about how many they killed from here to there, and it's millions of bees lost. The way I look at it, the colony manages how many bees it has. If it needs more, they make more. Now, would they certainly benefit from having more of them returning? Yeah, probably. Particularly, there are some times of year where I think it would be much more beneficial and it's much more important. When a colony is really struggling and they're barely making it in the spring coming out of winter, you know, as they're preparing to overwinter, some of those times of year where things are not necessarily as abundant or they have not yet adapted to the abundance. In other words, you have a spring flow that's on, and it's just kicking in and things are really ramping up, but they don't have enough bees yet who have been born coming out of winter to go out and capitalize on that, right? So there are some times when things really aren't a great time to be losing bees. But during times of, you know, kind of like a sustained population, the colony can kind of manage. I don't know. It's a fun research project. And hey, when you're getting paid taxpayer money or whoever funds them to go do the research, it's creating jobs, it stimulates the economy, that's great, but I just don't know if it makes that big of a difference. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, next article coming to us out of Canada, out of the University of Ottawa. Be alert, pesticides pose a real threat to over 70% of wild bees. Reforms needed to ensure the protection of all pollinator species, our food systems, and biodiversity as a whole. A new study reveals alarming risks that pesticides pose to ground nesting bees, which are crucial for pollination and food production. As agriculture increasingly relies on pesticides to protect crops, the unintended consequences for these essential pollinators are becoming clearer. Led by Sabrina Rondeau, an NSERC postdoctoral fellow in the Department of Biology at the University of Ottawa, the research highlights the urgent need to reassess pesticide safety standards to protect these essential pollinators. The study reveals that current pesticide risk assessments, which primarily use honeybees as test subjects, fail to account for the unique vulnerabilities of wild bees that nest in soil. Our findings show that over 70% of wild bee species, which are crucial for pollinating our food crops, face significant risk from pesticide residues in soil, a threat current regulations overlook, says Dr. Rondeau. Anyway, interesting article. There are some study facts you can go and dive into if you want to check it out. You know, but that's an interesting point, right? We do spend a lot of time and energy focusing on regular, you know, traditional bees, bees that are in trees that are unmanaged, or bees that are in regular hives, Langstroth or whatever hive type that you like to use. But they're managed, that they're in a different kind of environment. Those bees in the ground, obviously, if there are pesticides going on to plants and anything else, at some point it has to settle down to the ground. But I think some of those ground dwellers aren't always taken into consideration. So, you know, obviously herbicides, pesticides, the neonicotinoids, all the stuff that is a part of that, it certainly is a big deal. I don't think that anybody's aggressively trying to fix it. Well, I take that back. People in the scientific community are obviously raising red flags, just like this person is right here. But what's actually being done on the back end to regulate it all and make it better, I don't really know. But folks, that is all I've got for you in this episode of Bees in the News. Like I said, I put this out there. We're taking a little bit of a break on this segment. Now, if somebody emails me and they're like, Jeff, my God, I can't live without the Bees in the News. You got to do more of it. I will find a way. I will make it happen for you. But outside of that, it's really just a supplement to put some things out there. Kind of like, you know, you're driving down the road on your way to work or wherever you got to go, and you just do check the news real quick. We're not talking about politics. We're not talking about elections. We're not talking about World War III. We're not talking about any of that stuff. It's just a happy little thing you can do and listen to some information about bees once a week. Anyway, that's all I got for you, folks. Take care. Be kind to one another. And remember that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.